For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, Week 15 edition. I can't believe we're already getting this close to the end of the season, but there are three games left to go. Thank you for joining us. The Free Stretch, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, where right now, and not just right now, it's all the time, you get the lifetime warranty, unlimited years, unlimited miles, all the places you could possibly go to buy a car, whether it's new or used. And there are many of them. And they ain't all bad, okay? But of all those places, Bill Curry Ford's the one that's going to allow you to take the car, disappear for years and years and years, and if you still are the one who's the original owner of the car since you bought it at Bill Curry Ford, bring it back when you have engine trouble, and it will be covered. Unlimited years, unlimited miles, as long as you're still the owner of the car, you're covered at Bill Curry Ford. They've got brand new cars, they've got pre-owned cars, they've got used cars. Go to the website and check that out. Because I never go just show up at a dealership. I don't care who it is. And you shouldn't either. That's what the website's for. Bill Curry Ford. C-U-R-R-I-E. Bill Curry Ford. Check out all the inventory there. And there's even more on the lot. But if you check out the website, on top of the already transparent online pricing, you'll get what you see there. You'll get unlimited roadside assistance for 10 years. You'll get free service for the first year, bringing in for all the oil changes and stuff like that. It's all taken care of. These are all things you get under the umbrella of purchasing a car from Bill Curry Ford, aside from just the car itself. So it's worth a look. Check them out. They've been there for almost 60 years, a mile and a half north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and that's just right past Hillsboro if you're heading north, right before Hillsboro if you're heading south. Sean Sullivan, good friend of mine, mentioned me or the Free Stretch or Joe Bucks Fan. You'll get a little discount on top of the already good prices on top of that. So thanks to them for taking care of the Free Stretch. The Free Stretch hopes to take care of you today. And we're getting into it now. Like I said, we got three games to go. We got this Lions game on Sunday. We'll talk about that. The game that took place this past weekend, of course, was another Bucks win. And I did the whole show on last Thursday about how there was joy in all this again, even though we knew the Bucks weren't going to make the playoffs, even though they weren't officially eliminated yet. They have since been, even in spite of their win. And even though we knew all those things, and it's sadly been the same case for years and years and years, it didn't matter. That what mattered was we were having fun watching Buccaneer football. We were having fun watching them beat the Cardinals. We were having fun watching them beat the Falcons. We were having fun watching them beat the Jags. And then the Colts game happens, and I'll tell you what. Almost the same exact thing that happened before in, I think it was the Atlanta game, right? Jameis gets picked off on his first throw. Twitter goes berserk. My cell phone goes berserk with tweets from my friends. Everybody, here we go. You know, I don't even need to rehash it for you. The usual thing that happens now whenever Jameis Winston makes a mistake. And so that touched off a football game in which the lead went back and forth, in which Jameis Winston's future as a Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback in the minds of some of you went back and forth multiple times. He would go on to throw a couple more interceptions, and the Bucks would go on to gain the lead back a couple more times and relinquish the lead a couple more times. But at the end of the day, the Buccaneer offense did what it needed to do, and they held on and scored late and won 38-35 and did all the fun things that we like to watch, in addition to the maddening interceptions and things like that. We even got to see Ryan Griffin for a little bit at a halftime, and at the time, nobody knew what was going on. And there were a lot of confused tweets then, too. I remember some of the media members saying, Ryan Griffin's a quarterback right now. And everybody thought, oh my God, like Arians has had enough. This is it. This is the death knell. No more Jameis. He probably won't even play again this season because why would you bench him and then put him back in? You know, that was all going on for a little bit there. Although, no, wait. He hurt his thumb and we figured out it was an injury thing. And he was fine right when it happened, but once halftime set in, you know how it stiffens up, any injury you have, once you stop moving. So he got back on the sideline, got it loosened back up, was able to finish the game. Now, as far as his status for his thumb, He is practicing this week so far, and I'm doing my show here on Thursday before we get reports out of the Thursday practice, but up to this point in the week, he was doing all the things you do as a quarterback, drop backs and things like that, without actually holding a football or throwing or anything like that. Just trying to keep the thumb healthy and not to put too much stress on it. Bruce Arians did say earlier in the week that the plan is for him to play, as long as nothing is worse than they think it's going to be. And I suspect he probably will play. He hurt the thumb in the two-minute drill at the end of the half, and it was on a play where he had a wide-open O.J. Howard coming over the middle, and he went to throw to him, and of course he had to alter the course of his throw because Donovan Smith got his ass whipped inside, and not only did he get beat and did Jameis have to alter the course of his throw, but Jameis's hand hit the guy's hand for the Colts, or his arm or something, and it broke his thumb. I mean, to pick on Donovan Smith, I mean, that was just one play. But anyway, that's what happened. And so after that, again, he went in, stiffened up, came back out, loosened up. But first things first, can we give it up for Ryan Griffin? Can we pour one out for that guy? Not that I feel sorry for him, because he has made over $5 million in his career, but he has been in the league for 7 years. Like, imagine having a dream. It depends on what your dream is. My dream is to get paid $5 million just to kind of be on call, but never actually be called on. Whatever your dream is, though, imagine having a dream to play in the NFL, and then you make seven rosters, I mean, 7 seasons you're on an NFL roster, and you stand there on the sideline just 50 feet away from, you know, the people playing the game, and you never actually get called on. Rick Stroud, the Bucs beat writer, called him the Moonlight Graham of the NFL, if you remember Field of Dreams, and there was a character, actually it's a real life person, Moonlight Graham, they based it on him, but he's a guy who, like, got called up for his one shot at the bigs, then he goes and plays, like, right field or something for a half an inning, and then in the bottom of the inning, his team ends up winning the game, and he's on deck when either the final out is made or when they have a walk-off or something. And he never actually gets an official major league at-bat. He gets sent back down, never plays in the majors again. And it's like, did you really, you know, you didn't actually get to go up there with a bat in your hand. That's how Ryan Griffin was. I mean, he didn't get to actually throw a pass. So all of a sudden, it was kind of jarring because we talked about it on the show before. And I had said in some of these games where the Bucs were getting hammered. I said it after the Saints game a couple of weeks ago when the Bucs just had a terrible effort. The game was over for almost the entire fourth quarter. Jameis was hurt, limping around in an ankle. There was just zero reason for him to be in the game whatsoever. And even then, Ryan Griffin couldn't even get a snap or a series. I mean, let the guy go in there and throw a pass, get him on the score sheet. Well, it finally happened. So hats off to him. And a few guys got to do things that we don't normally get to see them do in this game because of injuries. Mike Evans, of course, catches a long touchdown from Jameis Winston. That proves to be his final play of the 2019 season as he yanks a hammy, and he won't play in the final three games. But Justin Watson, who's a backup wide receiver who mainly plays special teams, you almost never hear his name. He does lead the team in special teams tackles, which is the job of a backup wide receiver, is mainly to be valuable on special teams so you don't get cut. And he's done that pretty well. But he catches a touchdown. He made a few other catches as well. Breshad Perriman, the past three games, not just this past weekend, but for a few weeks in a row now, has started to make his presence known and earn his keep a little more. He's got over 200 yards receiving in the past three games. So it was cool to see all that. And it was cool to see it happen, especially because, you know, a lot of the things with Jameis Winston, whether it's the criticisms or the compliments or whatever, a lot of people will point out, well, hey, just imagine if he didn't have Mike Evans as his safety blanket and his crutch, it'd be even worse. But Jameis made a lot of plays out there on Sunday with a secondary crew of receivers beyond just Mike Evans. So it was encouraging to see all those things. And one of the things that's been making the rounds now since then, because this Jameis thing, I mean, before the season started, I don't know if you remember, if you listened to the show religiously enough, first of all, thank you. But second of all, maybe you remember this. I went through a wish list for the Bucs of things I hope are true at the end of the 2019 season. Now, obviously, for any team, your wish list is, well, I hope we win the division, I hope we go to the playoffs, I hope we win the NFC, I hope we win the Super Bowl. Every team wants those things, I mean, of course. But my list was beyond the obvious things. I wanted to say, here's a list of, it was almost more like conditions I hope exist at the end of the 2019 season. And the number one thing I had on my list, aside from any wins and losses, just the number one condition I was hoping for by the end of the 2019 Bucks season was that one way or the other, we knew exactly what the story with Jameis Winston was. It'd be a no-brainer. Oh, yeah, we're keeping him. We already re-signed him to a multi-year deal midway through the year. Or, oh, nope, we're moving on. This clearly isn't working. Whatever it is, I mean, good or bad, I just wanted to know there'd be some certainty by the end of 2019. Okay, here's how we proceed. This is clear to everybody. We don't have to wonder about this. It's very evident what we should do. That was what I was hoping. So here we are now as we enter week 15. And there is no more clarity or less clarity than there has been at the beginning of this season or in past seasons or really at all, okay? We know as much now as we thought we knew in the offseason, in August, and in the early weeks, which is to say everybody's split. You can ask 100 fans and you can get a very wide-ranging spectrum of responses. And the more telling thing isn't just the range of responses. It's how dug in everybody is on their positions, and it doesn't really seem to matter week to week how he plays or even drive to drive how he plays. People seem to have their minds made up. That's not a bad thing, by the way. I always say not to be reactionary, so if you are not being swayed by a simple interception here or there, if you're pro Jameis, and if you're not being swayed by a few good plays here or there, if you've made your evaluation fairly, then hats off to you. But I was really hoping there'd be some clarity, like just any type of, okay, here's how it needs to go. We need a quarterback going into this draft, or we don't need anything. We've got our guy, and it's not that way. Now, maybe it is. Maybe this whole season, going how it's gone, and all the ups and downs, has provided clarity in that this is what you're going to expect. There's been a stat graphic making the rounds this week. If you're on Twitter, I know a lot of you are, and if you are on Twitter, you can follow me at Bobby Game Day, BobbyGameDay, and you can email me BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com too. But if you're not like on social media, and it might have even been on Facebook, I don't go on Facebook that much, but it might have even been on there too. But it's got a side-by-side, Jameis versus Peyton Manning, through 69 games, so same number of games in their career, here in their fifth year, and Peyton Manning played his 69th game early in his fifth year because he started all 16 games all of his first 5 years, so it was like the fifth game he got to, you know, that number in his fifth year. But anyway, through the same number of games, you'll see the stat if you haven't seen it already. If not, I'll tell it to you right now. Completion percentage, Jameis 61.5, Peyton 61.3. Passing yards per attempt, Jameis 7.7, Peyton 7.4. Passing yards per game, Jameis 271.6, Peyton Manning 256.5. TD to interception ratio, the same, 1.4 TDs for every one pick. Passer rating, 87.2 for Jameis, 85.6 for the no-brainer, surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, Peyton Manning. Age, I'm adding to this graphic. Jameis Winston, age 21 through 25 for those first 5 years. Peyton Manning was age 22 through 26 for those first 5 years. And college experience, Peyton Manning started at least part of all 4 years, all three of his final 3 years and part of his freshman year. Jameis Winston redshirted his freshman year, then played two seasons, and that was it. So that's the side-by-side. And if you just go on those stats in a vacuum, you're like, hey, this is how it is, man. Jameis is still young. And I'm not saying he's like Peyton Manning, but look at the numbers, dude. He's on pace. That's if you look at the stats in a vacuum. Now, you really have to add context. I mean, one of the things I see, and it's not just with sports, but it's politics these days, and I'll try not to get political here, but there's so much lack of context. Everybody just throws stuff out there. They try to make two things comparable that are in no way comparable at all because they leave out the context. And it's all just, again, Twitter. Hey, here's two lines, 120 characters. Here's a 10-second soundbite on whatever news network or whatever. You know, you can lose context and all that stuff. And a lot of times details are boring. And a lot of times details can't be delivered quickly enough to package things the way they need to be packaged in this day and age, which is quickly and for those with a short attention span. And I'm not talking down to people because I have a short attention span. And I tune out after about 5-10 seconds. which hopefully, I mean, if you're listening to this show, that, you know, at least your attention span is probably a little longer than mine. But anyway, the point is, here's the context. First of all, let's look at the passer rating. Jameis, 87.2. Peyton Manning, 85.6. So, okay. How many people had a passer rating over 100 in each of these time frames? In those 5 years that Peyton Manning amassed the 85.6 passer rating, nobody, okay, had a passer rating over 100 at that time, in that time. And Peyton Manning ranked seventh amongst qualifying quarterbacks in that time frame for his first 5 years in his first 69 games. Jameis, on the other hand, who has a higher passer rating, looks up at 28 other quarterbacks during his time frame who have amassed a passer rating higher than that. Seven of those are over 100, okay? So again, context. The numbers, when taken strictly by their totals, don't tell you the story of what conditions are and what statistical norms are in this day and age versus Peyton Manning's day and age 20 years ago in 1998 through, you know, whatever it was, 2002. So, and I'm a guy who, I'm not nearly as hard on Jameis as a lot of you are, but even I had to roll my eyes a little bit when I saw these stats get thrown out there because, come on, I mean, let's be honest. You can't be actually serious when you try to, with a straight face, put some sort of meaning behind these numbers. And if you go by era-adjusted numbers, like if you actually take the numbers and adjust all of them for the era they happened in, and Thomas Bassinger tweeted this a few days ago, and he did a good job of putting it into context. Jameis is well behind Peyton Manning in all of these categories, adjusted for the era that they took place in. It's something that if you look at the numbers just based on that, then all of a sudden that stat line doesn't look so great. And it's not. I mean, it's not all bad either. I mean, Jameis has done a lot of good things, and it's not great either. Now, what I've been trying to say this whole time, and it was captured brilliantly by a clip from the TV show The Office, of all things, which I'll play in a minute. You know, most quarterbacks that turn it over the way Jameis does are just bad. And you look around the league at guys, and some of these quarterbacks, they just lead these anemic offenses, and they're terrible, and they just have no chance of making a play. Their offense isn't going to do anything, and nothing's going to happen good. That's not Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston has issues. But the reason why he's at least worth a look is because he can make plays. He can make things happen. He can move an offense at least to a somewhat higher degree. And I'm not saying he's in the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the league, but he has the ability to move offenses that way. He doesn't just do that without cutting out the mistakes. But if you want to get a good idea for what the Jameis Winston experience has been like both the entire 5 years or in any one given season, or in this case, even a single game like Sunday's, there was a tweet from Jeff Eisenband, and all the tweet said was, here's Jameis Winston's agent meeting with NFL teams this offseason. Then he shows a clip, and for those of you that watch The Office, you may remember it. There was a clip in The Office where Will Ferrell made a cameo. The Office was a TV show on NBC a few years back, for those of you that didn't watch it, but the point is not that. The point is there was a clip where one of the characters is a paper salesman, and he's looking to sign on with a paper sales company, and his agent is Will Ferrell, who was making like a cameo, and so Will Ferrell, he's terrible, like he just comes in and just starts shooting from the hip, and basically this is his sales pitch for his sales guy to work for this paper company, and it sounds exactly like what you would describe signing on for more Jameis Winston would sound like. Here's the clip.
You could be making the biggest mistake of your life or the biggest good decision of your life. It's either going to be the best thing you ever did or the worst thing you ever did. If you want some boring white bread clock watcher who's going to get you your paper when you ordered it for the agreed upon price, and he's not your guy. You ever play Russian roulette? Time to spin the chamber, Boris. By signing up for another year.
And that's exactly, like, whoever wrote that, okay, had no idea who Jameis Winston was. That was written years before Jameis Winston was in the NFL, and that person probably doesn't know who he is. But that could have been somebody who would have sat down in an effort to write a comedy skit about Jameis Winston's agent talking to Jason Light this year. And those words verbatim would still apply, except for the parts about actual paper. And I mean, when I saw that tweet, I mean, that was perfect. And it's true. So the Bucks got to decide, basically, if that's the business they want to be in, if they think it can get better. Because if it gets better, it'd be a lot better. I mean, you've seen what he can do. Or it could get worse, or it could just be more of this. And Brett Favre was doing an interview the other day, and they asked him about Jameis Winston. He had some point of worry. I mean, first of all, he said at the end of the day, it's about winning games. The whole point of all this is to win the Super Bowl. You got to win games to do that, win your division, get in the playoffs, host home game. You know, you got to win 11, 12, 13 games out of your 16 to do that. That is the point of all of this. So if you're winning games, you can throw all the picks you want. Sometimes you got to, I mean, you know, you can throw picks and win. It doesn't always happen. But you can do it, depending on the timing of them and depending on things like that. But he said with Jameis Winston, you know, and he's talked about how he struggled early in his career with trying to force balls in places and things like that. I mean, in reality, he struggled with that even throughout his Hall of Fame career. But, you know, he said that this is something that if you think you can live with those things, if you think it's possible to win doing things the way the Bucs offense has, you know, that's something the Bucs have to decide. And the other thing they have to decide is if there are anybody better out there. I don't want Andy Dalton. That's that boring white bread clock watcher who's going to get you your paper on time for the agreed upon price. That's Andy Dalton. I don't want that. Do you want that? That's not an improvement. That's pointless. All right. Maybe somebody want Teddy Bridgewater. That's a more reasonable desire, in my opinion. And maybe some of you want to take your chances in the draft and start the whole thing over. And, you know, we're going to be picking down in the teens. And maybe you like Justin Herbert. Maybe you think Tua will drop that far with the injury. Maybe there's a million other things you want to try. And again, we'd all love to see your plan, just like John Lennon says in Revolution. You know, whatever it is, fine. But you got to have a plan. You can't just say, oh, Jameis Winston sucks. This isn't working. Move on from this chump, blah, blah, blah. And then, okay, well, who's our quarterback? Because it can turn. It can happen, okay? You saw the 49ers, just like what I talked about last week, and they went into New Orleans and won a big game and a great game on Sunday. And you saw the Bucs play them last year and just beat their ass up one side and down the other. Both teams sucked, but the 49ers sucked more. And it was like two ships passing in the night, it felt like, and the Bucs were going one way and the 49ers were going the other. Even though neither team was good, it felt like we were the ones on the way up. 49ers are going to be in the NFC, you know, I don't know yet if they're going to have a bye or not. They're still in a tight division race. But they're going to win 13 games or something like that. And we're sitting here better than last season, but not all that different, really. 2 years ago was the Bears, who, with Trubisky, okay, who's not as good as Jameis, and the Bucs beat them badly. And it looked like, again, two ships passing in the night. We're going on. We both suck right now, but we suck less, and we're on the way up, and you're on the way down. Bears were the ones in the playoffs a year later, doinking balls off the crossbar and the upright and missing that. Oh, that would have been the NFC Divisional playoff, maybe gone further. So don't think that we can't be in a playoff scenario with Jameis Winston next season. And you know, he will be. When I say what's going to happen, I don't literally mean what's going to happen. I mean, what do you think should happen? Because I can already tell you what's going to happen. He's going to be playing quarterback for the Bucs next year. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. He'll be the Bucs quarterback. And so, you know, the franchise way is a good compromise, a good way of doing that, because you don't have to commit and you can kick the can down the road a little further. Or if you get a good number on him, you know, maybe you want to do it. But it does feel a little bit like Russian roulette, doesn't it? And I don't know why he can't cut out the terrible turnovers. I think it would help to improve at tackle a lot. You know, and you're going to see that with DeMar Dotson being replaced this year. Donovan Smith's not going to be replaced. Four-fifths of the offensive line is going to be the same. Donovan Smith needs to be better. But either way, when you look around, the DVOA numbers bear it out too. It's actually the offense that's been lagging behind the defense overall now. When you take into the whole season into account and you look at, I'm looking at it right here. And for those of you that don't know what DVOA is probably the most all-encompassing stat there is for rating efficiency. They do it by team. They do it by offense, defense, and special teams. It's done by Football Outsiders. You know, you can regard it or disregard it at your own free will. But the Bucs DVOA as a team right now is 16th, middle of the pack. And if you organize it Actually, excuse me, their DVOA is 18th. DVOA just takes into account the entire season unweighted. If you weight it for more recent results, counting for more, trying to capture a clearer glimpse of how teams are playing right now at this very moment, they bump up to 16th then. Obviously, they've been playing better lately. That's overall. For the season, their offensive DVOA rank is 21st in a 32-team league. Their defensive DVOA is now 10th. And against the run, it's, you know, one of the top two or three. I have to look that part up. I know it's in the top two or three. So if their offense was in the, you know, top 10 the way their defense is, we're probably talking about games with playoff implications this weekend with the Lions and coming up against the Texans and the final one against the Falcons instead of being eliminated. And a big reason for that offensive DOA being down where it is Jameis Winston's inability to take care of the football, plain and simple. And if that doesn't get better, then the Bucs won't get much better, and we'll just be doing this again next year. And so I don't mean to make it sound easy, because if it, you know, if you're Jason Light right now, I mean, what you got to have a plan if it's not Jameis Winston, and it's not like there's a million other quarterbacks around here or anywhere that are worth it. There's only five or six or maybe seven or eight of those guys on the face of the planet right now. If I just read you the list of quarterbacks who are playing this weekend, you'd be like, yeah, he sucks. Yeah, he sucks. Yeah, he's okay, but he still probably kind of sucks. To most of them, like 20 to 24 of them, you'd say that about. So there ain't that many of these guys out there. And if you think there's some coming out of the draft, then great. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is my email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. If you're listening to this, oh, I want to give you a couple more numbers first, because I have to give you these numbers. First of all, going back to what I just said, I glossed over this. What the Bucs did on Sunday, since 1940, okay, we're going back to 1940. We're going back almost 80 years now. There had been 622 NFL games altogether in the past nearly 80 years where a team allowed 35 points and had four turnovers with only having one turnover or none themselves, like takeaways. So I'll read those conditions again. There had been, since 1940, 622 games in the NFL where a team allowed 35 points or more, turned the ball over four times, and had zero or one takeaways themselves. The Bucs did all three of those things against the Colts on Sunday and won. Do you know what the record of the other 622 teams was that did that before the Bucs did it on Sunday since 1940? Three wins, 618 losses, and one tie. Four times now in 623 possible chances has the team won a football game under the circumstances the Bucs put themselves in on Sunday, which is simply stunning. But they did it. They won. It was fun. It was an exciting game. I mean, you can't fault the entertainment value of the football game. It was nice to look at with the Colts uniforms, if not the Bucs uniforms. That always adds to the viewing pleasure. And then you come to this Sunday against the Lions. Now, here's a more depressing number. And this doesn't mean anything for this game itself. This is a stat over several years. But it still tells you something about where the Bucs organization has been lately. Because weeks 15 and 16, I should say, in addition to week 17, it's December, usually thinking, you know, big games, big playoff implications. The Bucs have flirted with that just once in the past 5 years. But in the last eight seasons, going back to, you know, 2011 through 2018, in games in week 15 and 16, so that's 16 games total, Bucs are 0-16. They've lost every single GD game in week 15 and 16 of every season since 2011. And they were somehow in a playoff race in 2010. But that doesn't cover that. And they were in one a few years ago when they lost a tiebreaker to the Lions. And that was it. And it's no wonder. So hopefully they can break that streak. And they also broke a streak on Sunday against the Colts of losing like 29 in a row when they were down by 8 or more points at any point in the game. So they were able to do that, trailing the Colts by 14 at one point there on Sunday. A lot going on. And anyway, looking around the league, tonight's game, again, if you're listening to this on Thursday, then it's before the Thursday night game has happened. The Ravens are taking on the Jets. It's a spread that by the time the game kicks off will probably be around 16 or 17 points. And you know what? I don't care because it's Thursday night football. And it's the last Thursday night football game of the season. And let me say this right now, because there's been, in past years, a lot of chatter about how much Thursday night football sucks and why does the league do this and on and on and on. And I don't know why people complain. Like, do you all realize that when we get to February and March and April and May and June, just all those months with no football, how you would like, you would chew hot glass just for the chance to listen to a Bucks preseason game televised audio through a walkie-talkie for 5 minutes, okay? Do you realize that? Like, do you realize that? Like, that's how bad you're hurting for football. And we got the XFL coming. I'm excited about the Vipers. They've been having training camp, so that'll be something. But I've never understood, hey, give me a night with less football. You know, on Thursday, there's football on, so there's something to do when you're done with work and your kids are in bed or whatever. Let's not have that instead. Let's make one more weeknight a boring one so we can put that extra game on Sunday when it won't be on TV and nobody can watch it anyway. There ought to be damn Wednesday night football. You're a damn fool. You're a damn fool if you don't like Thursday night football. If you'd rather just not have a game on at all. You don't have to watch it. So if you don't like it that much, don't watch it. But to actually be like, oh, this sucks. I hate Thursday night football. Why do they do this? Why do they do this? I woke up this morning. I'm a 39-year-old man with two kids. I have a beautiful wife. Got a great house. Love everything. And just like most weekday mornings, and maybe I'm in a midlife crisis or something, just like most weekday mornings, I was bored out of my mind at just the very thought of just more weekdays happening. I'm excited for the weekend. And I work part-time. I'm a stay-at-home dad during the day. I don't have like a 9-to-5 job. That'd be even, you know, more so would I want this if I did. But my point is, like, I already thought about, like, from when I woke up this morning, I was like, hey, and I don't mean like my whole life revolves around this. I'm not a complete loser. But when I woke up this morning, I was like, hey, it's Thursday. There's a football game tonight. I was immediately a little bit happier just saying, okay, tonight, you know, get some dinner with the kids and my wife, get that done, get the kids, you know, get their bath time, bedtime, homework. And then I'll come downstairs and watch some football, baby. As opposed to if there was no Thursday night game, and I wouldn't do that. Now, I don't know why you wouldn't want that, but people who, it's been less this year because the games haven't been as bad. You know, in past years, there have been some really bad Thursday night games. And by the way, the worst Thursday night football game in the history of all mankind is still better than not having a Thursday night game on. But there's been some decent ones this year. The calls to slash Thursday night football have lessened. Now, as far as player safety, that's a valid concern. And that part, you know, is not easy. I get it. And I know the league's been working, and if they end up doing this 17-game schedule thing like they've been talking about, there's the possibility that they could have, you know, an extra bye week and make it a 19-week season. And maybe you could have more teams playing on Thursday coming off their bye week. That way they don't actually have, you know, you want to cut down on teams playing on 4 days rest. I completely get that part. I'll tell you what. I had my first practice with the Dunedin Pirates semi-pro football team this past Saturday. They've been practicing for a while, but I officially like joined the team this past week. Had my first practice, and it just so happened to work out, as it seems to always work out, that the week I picked to finally come back and join the team is the week where they do their like most physical contact practice of the year, because most of the year, and they've been practicing Saturday mornings. And for those of you that don't know what this is, there is semi-pro football here in the state of Florida. Anybody who's over 18 can play. It's real. I'm not talking about flag football. I'm talking about shoulder pads, helmets. I play for the Dunedin Pirates. There's teams in Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Orlando, South Florida. Bradenton has the best team, actually, the Southwest Florida Gladiators. There's teams everywhere, okay? And if you want to play football, if you used to play in high school and you think, hey, man, it'd be fun to get out there again, go to Play It Against Sports, get a helmet and shoulder pads for about $120 and show up on Saturday. We'll be there. In Dunedin. Go to DunedinPirates.com for more information. And you can thump with us. And so I go out there and I practiced on Saturday. Like literally 5 minutes into my first practice, I'm like getting loose. We do bull in the ring. We circle everybody up. We pick one-on-one matchups and it's who can push the guy out of the ring. So I'm slamming shoulder pads with guys. I got paired up with a couple guys. I won one And the other one I didn't outright lose. I stayed in the ring, but I got moved back a little bit, so I would give him the decision. But the point is, it was fun. I had a great time. And then we ran through some drills, and then we went into team, full contact. I was playing safety, a little bit of strong safety, a little bit of free safety. Had to come up and give some of that safety fill in the gap and stick some fools. I did all that, okay? And I was hurting. Like, I'm still sore, and it's Thursday right now, so that's 5 days, not four. And I barely, we're talking about 15, 20 reps. Playing an actual football game at that level, I can't imagine how hard it must be. I know it's hard, okay, to play Thursday night football. But they somehow do it. Guys somehow figure it out, and it's been okay. And you can be cynical, and of course the reason the NFL does it is money. And where's the money come from? Ads. Where do the ads come from? Ratings. And where do the ratings come from? You and me watching the game, which you can bet your sweet ass I will be doing tonight. But yeah, get rid of Thursday Night Football. Why have a game on when we could have no games on? Because that makes sense if you like football, right? Let's have less games. Let's put it on Sunday instead of 7 or 9 games or whatever it is at 1 o'clock. Let's have 10 games at 1 o'clock. Well, I'll still be able to only watch one of them on my damn TV. And that's another thing, since I'm on my soapbox here, because it's still so criminally dumb how few games are on TV. I mean, on Sunday at 1 this week, the Bucks game was the only one on because they either do a doubleheader at 1 or a doubleheader at 4, not both, which is ridiculous. I don't know why they can't have both games in both time slots for AFC and NFC. But on CBS, it was the Bucks game. Then there was no game on besides that. So during the Bucks game on Sunday at 1 o'clock, there were how many other games going on? There was 8 other games going on. I should have counted before the show. And none of them were available here. And I'm on Twitter during the Bucks game, and people are like doing backflips about this 49ers Saints game. Oh my God, can you believe what's happening in this game? This is the best game of the NFL season. And I'm sitting here on Twitter, I'm like, why can't I flip over to Fox and watch this damn thing right now? Like, why? But you couldn't. So take a game off Thursday, and let's just have more games like that that are just in no window at all. Nobody can see them except the people in those cities. Utterly ridiculous. So I went on my laptop after the Bucks game ended because the 49ers Saints game took longer. Actually, I was doing it even during the final few minutes of the Bucks game. And I pulled up the Saints 49ers on this website you can go to that you can watch games without all the crappy pop-ups and all the things that most illegal websites have. This one doesn't have those. If you want it, email me. But the point is, and I have no compunction about this whatsoever. Screw them. People are like, oh, Bobby, that's not right. I'll do that. Put the damn game on TV. I won't do it. And screw you, Red Zone, and screw you, DirecTV. I don't want a satellite dish in my house. So don't give me this Sunday ticket crap. I can't get Sunday ticket with my regular cable, and I still want regular cable. I don't want a satellite dish, so don't tell me that. But anyway, I brought the game on my laptop, watched the end of it. Why do I have to do that? Put it on TV. Put more of your games on TV so more people watch them and pay more money. Advertisers pay more money for the commercials. Oh, there's more money. It's the same thing I said about the NFL schedule. You don't even have to increase, if you want to increase revenue, you don't have to even increase the number of games. Just add more bye weeks. And then there's maybe fewer games each week. But that's fine since you only put 3 of them on TV anyway. So in a week where, instead of having a 17-week season, have an 18-week season. Still 16 games. Now that's one more week of inventory. One more Monday night football game. One more Thursday night football game. One more Sunday night football game. All more money, and you didn't actually add any games, so player safety's good. In fact, you could work more bye weeks in before Thursday games. It's win, 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 win. Because there's 256 games in the NFL regular season as it stands with 16 games. If they add a 17th game, then you'd add 16 total games to 256, it'd be 272. So even with 256, you can just spread those 256 out more weeks and more of them can be on TV without actually adding any more. But tonight's the last Thursday night game of the year. So next Thursday, let's all gather around next Thursday night in week 16. And let's sit there, and I don't even know what we'll do. You can go Christmas shopping or something, if that's something you need to do. But there sure as hell won't be football on. This is the last one of the year tonight. It's the third to last game of the year on a weeknight in general. There's this game, and then there's two Monday night games, and every other NFL game for the rest of the season, regular season or postseason, is going to be on a Saturday or a Sunday. All the playoff games are like that, and all the regular season remaining games will be like that besides tonight's game and the two remaining Monday nighters. So I am, for one, very happy there's a game tonight. If you like football, I would imagine you would be too. You've got Lamar Jackson with the chance to break Michael Vick's quarterback rushing record single season tonight in the game versus the Jets. And, hey, great. I mean, again, it could be two teams with no playoff hopes, and I'd find a way to bet on it or something just to give myself some drama. I did that with Eagles-Giants on Monday night, which basically sucked, and I still had fun watching it. Come on now. You all like football. You're listening to this show. If you didn't like football, you wouldn't be listening to this. So suck it up and figure out a way to enjoy watching football that's just slowly just being pulled out of your grasp. Every calendar day that just crossed off in December, it's gone. All right? And you all know that. I do this every year. Every year this time of year, the college regular season's already over. The NFL season's dwindling down, and as much as I should be enjoying it, because it's awesome, I'm already thinking about, hey, you know, like, there's really almost nothing left. Like, we just started this 10 minutes ago. It was training camp, and it's almost already completely gone. And I start to panic. So, take a deep breath. Enjoy tonight's football game. We do have three Saturday games next week, including the Bucs game, which got moved for those of you that didn't hear that, and they play the Texans. But we'll worry about that next week's show. For now, I want to thank all of you guys for listening. Hopefully you agree with me, but even if you don't, even more so, thanks for listening to me. We always want to stir discussion and always love hearing your thoughts. So if you have any thoughts, again, you can email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com is my email address on Twitter. You can get me @bobbygameday. Thanks to our sponsors over at Bill Curry Ford. Again, check out the website, billcurryford.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. And you can check out all their inventory, the unlimited lifetime warranty, all that good stuff. Thanks to Joe Bucks Fan, the Joes, allowing me to be on this platform, allowing me to be in front of all of you, the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, whether it's the internet or anywhere else for that matter, is Joe Bucks Fan. It already got updated with new, fresh content about three times since I started this podcast. Thanks to them. And of course, like I said, thanks to all of you. Enjoy your weekend. Have some fun. Man, everybody's pissed off around me because of Christmas. My wife's stressed out. All the Christmas stuff, I'm trying to help a little bit, but, you know, how much could I really do? A lot of it she doesn't trust me with. And I hear it from everybody how stressed out they are. It ain't supposed to be that way. Don't get all wrapped up in the material stuff. We'll talk more about this next week. But man, just relax, okay? Just watch the game tonight. Don't worry about all the stuff you got to do. And I'll be back next week. Go Bucks. Bucks Lions, Sunday, 1 p.m. We'll talk about it after it happens. Wherever you are, enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. And go Bucks.